First case, please.
First application is case number 11533. The application of Selco Partnership, also referred to as Verizon Wireless. Site is northeast of Watson Road, Road 500, approximately 2,200 feet northeast of Ellis Grove Road, being Road 498, with a 911 address of 51777 Watson Road, Laurel, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 432, Map 6, Parcel 33.02. Requesting a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower. The request, more specifically, the request for a special use exception to construct a 145-foot tall telecommunication tower with a 5-foot tall lightning rod. There was no request for any variances from any other conditions or requirements or standards of the code. We have no letters of support, no letters of opposition. We did receive no mail returns on this application. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
No, I don't think so. I thank you, Mr. Lang. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. John Tracy from Young Conway, Stargett and Taylor here on behalf of Selco Partnership. My merry band of supporters you've seen here in the past. Pete Sakalis is our civil engineer. Andy Peterson, who can come up here, is our RF engineer. The application is similar to those you have heard from us in the past, although you've had the pleasure not to hear from me for about a year. So,
let me say thank you, because now I can sit in my recliner because of the Sharptown or the airport tower has been turned on, and I don't lose my cough.
We aim to please.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, sworn in now.
If you could swear them in, Andy, that if you could, good. Just good. In case.
You go up there, please, in front of Mr. Sharp.
He doesn't bite.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. My first name is Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S. Last name is Chakalas, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, O-U-K-A-L-A-S. Business address is 2000 Mid-Atlantic Drive, Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
You wait right here. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. Andrew Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-H-N. Business address 3230 Water Street Road, Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Andy, you can stay up because I'll have you talk in just a moment. As Mr. Lank indicated, that this is an application for a 145-foot tall tower plus 5-foot lightning rod located north of Watson Road. The property that we're going on is 13.8 acres. It's part of a complex of essentially three properties, parcel A, B, and C. As if any of you've seen from the aerial photographs that are part of the plans that were submitted, this is a decidedly rural area, agricultural in nature, isolated homes, but certainly no development or subdivision housing. The tower height does not exceed code limitations. It meets all street and side setbacks. It will be lighted in accordance with the code. As you have seen in prior applications, we try to find locations which provide some natural screening for these types of facilities. In this instance, you'll notice from looking at the aerial photographs that are part of the plans, we're sticking it behind the large agricultural buildings and adjacent to the existing tree lines to help meld as much as can be with these structures into some natural screening. We are no closer than 375 feet from any structure on a neighboring property. As this board is aware, we're the holder of FCC licenses, which require us to maintain reliable service. As the board is also aware, with the advent of new technologies, iPads, the new phones, the downloading, the data streaming, and everything else, there's more demand on these facilities, as even has been in the past. Add to that the fact that many people where the ability exists are losing their traditional landlines in favor of the cell phone service. There's more of a demand for these facilities. When we're advised of gaps in service, that's when we tend to look for other alternatives. Obviously, we try to find, as the code requires, tall structures that we can co-locate on. In this instance, there was no tall structure closer than 2.3 miles to the proposed facility, which is nowhere near close enough to be able to provide a substitute for this facility. In fact, typically, if you get more than about a half a mile away, you're not going to be able to do the job that was intended with the original application. When we can't find co-location structures, that's when we seek to find a piece of property that we can utilize for purposes of constructing a tower, and that's what we've done here. What I would ask is for Andrew to come up. Instead of me walking through a standard question and answer, I will just let Andrew talk to you a bit about the existing coverage situation in this area and then the need for this facility that we're proposing tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Evening.
I'm going to try to stay close enough to the mic, but also I want to reference the exhibit on the board. As Mr. Tracy mentioned, this is a decidedly rural area where we currently have very little service. I'll direct your attention to the board to my right. It is labeled Verizon Wireless Existing Coverage. There's a copy of this on page two of the radio frequency design analysis that I think has been handed up. In any case, this is the typical coverage before map that you're used to seeing. It is, first and foremost, a map. On it, we have the major roadways, Route 13, as well as some of the more local roadways. We're showing Sharptown Road running west of Laurel towards the state border. And in addition to that information, the typical map information, we have also illustrated the existing Verizon Wireless facilities. They're shown with black dots. There are three of them in this view of the network. They are on air today and serving Verizon Wireless customers. The coverage footprint from those is shown in yellow. You'll notice in the western portion of the exhibit, we have a great expanse of unserved area. Particularly the area north of Sharptown Road between Laurel and the state border, that is the area that this facility is intended to cover. So if we then activate this facility through the use of propagation modeling with the antenna center line at 45 feet, you'll see that we are addressing the vast majority of that unserved area. It's important to mention this is an in-building service threshold that we are showing here. So service, say, in a vehicle or out on the street walking around is going to be a little bit better than this. But we like to show this because this is the threshold that Verizon seeks to provide for their customers. We want to be able to serve them in their homes, in their basements, in more substantially built structures, office buildings, buildings like the one we're in. So we show this view of the network. And you can see that we will make quite an improvement in the western portion of southern Sussex County.
Isn't the new tower that is southeast of the airport, isn't that a Verizon tower?
You're talking about the one on Sharptown, the one you mentioned earlier?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
It's between where your Delmar and proposed tower would be.
Right in here somewhere?
A little further south, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly the tower that you're mentioning. If Verizon is on it, they didn't provide me with a layer that shows it. If it's been recently activated, that could be the case.
Okay.
But I'm roughly aware of where it would be in this area, and it would address, and perhaps Verizon has recently co-located on it, and then that would address this gap here along 13.
I got you.
So that it would be a separate objective than this ring.
These are strictly your towers then.
These
Verizon's
are
towers.
If that is an on-air Verizon site, it should be represented here. But if it is a recent activation, it could be that when I requested the layer from the Verizon Wireless Radio Frequency Group, that it hadn't yet been activated.
Okay.
But I can find out the answer to that and provide.
How far away is it from your?
It's actually in the middle of their gap that he's showing.
Okay.
Yeah, it,
It would be about 4 miles away.
About 4 miles?
Yeah, it wouldn't be anywhere close enough to serve. The closest existing tall structure is about 2.3 miles away, southeast of here, and I believe it's a T-Mobile tower. And then that's not close enough to serve our gap.
Okay.
As I said, that will serve another gap in the network. If Verizon's not on it now, I'm sure they'd be seeking to co-locate on it. But I can find out that answer for you.
Okay. And you're a PE, right?
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
State of Delaware, yes.
And one other question that often comes up in these, Andy, and you provided a report to the board on that with regard to the emissions standards. The FCC obviously sets standards in terms of what the acceptable levels of emissions are. In this instance, we are 210 times below those acceptable standards. If you could just briefly walk the board through how you come up with that number.
Sure. As you said, even under a worst case, a combination of a worst case scenario, contributing factors, we would still be at least 210 times below what the FCC considers safe from a human exposure perspective. And that is typical with these types of facilities. They operate at very low power relative to, say, FM, AM, or television broadcast towers. The reason for that is twofold. One, we need to reuse frequencies. We need to reuse channels on these towers, so it does us no good to blast a signal that's going to go miles and miles and miles. And the other is that this is a two-way communication, unlike broadcast television or AM/FM broadcast, where it's a one-way street as far as information goes. We have small handheld devices that need to communicate back to these towers, and those devices are relatively low power. Generally, nowadays, they have no external antenna, so they are limited as to how far they can talk back to the tower, if you will. So these are very much uplink-limited networks, and that link from the phone to the tower dictates really how powerful we can make these towers, because, as I said, that phone still needs to be able to talk back to the tower. So for all those reasons, these are relatively low-power facilities, more akin to public safety type communications facilities. And for that reason, the findings in the report of 210 times below, even under some unrealistic worst case assumptions, that is very typical for these facilities.
Does the board have any other questions for Mr. Peterson?
No, I have a question. We're always concerned about the site of, you know, what the what the ground is there. What is that? Have you taken that as it being a PE? Have you taken that in consideration of when you put the tower up? What
I can
type
have our
of soil it's going to be in, and
that's really not my purview. But however, we have a civil
engineer.
Who can, absolutely, yes.
It is an engineer's answer. Is that correct?
We have a civil engineer as well.
Oh, okay.
I am a licensed engineer, but my specialty is in electrical engineering, whereas we have
right,
a civil engineer.
All right, thank you.
Sure. They can tell you about all the waves, but we have somebody else to tell you about the ground. So
you've got them all here tonight.
Exactly. But as I said, my merry band of colleagues.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Peterson?
No, I think so.
Pete, why don't you come up? The site plan. You all have the site plan in front of you. Again, this is a fairly typical site. It's a 50 by 50 compound, which will have both the equipment as well as the tower. We are taking access primarily from an existing stone drive and just constructing a small access drive from that existing driveway back to the compound. As I mentioned, we meet all of the setbacks for the tower from the street and from the side. We have all the required warning lights that would be on there by code. We have the ability to co-locate up to two additional carriers, or at least two additional carriers as required by the code. But since you had a question with regard to the soils, I can defer to our civil engineer, PE,
there
to respond
go.
To
there
that.
You. Yes, I am a PE in the state of Delaware also in civil engineering. We did perform all our due diligence when investigating this site. I personally went on the design visit originally for when the site was picked out. We had a wetlands investigation performed, so we made sure there's no wetlands. We're not in a buffer. We're not near.
Well, thank you. That's where I was going.
Okay.
You can keep going if you
want. I
can
keep going if you want.
Go ahead, just keep going.
Okay, so we made sure we're not near any blue line streams. We're not in a floodplain. We will be doing a geotechnical investigation if and when this is approved for the construction of the foundation of the tower. So it will be a site-specific tower foundation. The tower itself also will be site-specific. It will be designed per all the codes that are governed down in Sussex County.
Now, the reason we ask that is, of course, you understand that there's a lot of wetlands in Sussex County, and we want to make sure that you're not encroaching in any of those type of things.
Absolutely.
We've done a few sites across the state where we haven't been in wetlands, but we've had to take a few trees down, and what we've been put through by the Conservation District just to do that, we would not want to do anything at all that would impose upon the wetlands. Again, because these are such small sites, a 2,500-square-foot area. Are there any additional questions for Pete on the civil engineering side?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
The board, of course, is well aware of the standard for a special use permit, that we cannot substantially affect adversely neighboring properties. In this instance, we've got a benign use, as the board is well aware. It doesn't make any noise. It doesn't emit any smells. It doesn't tax local resources. It does not generate more than one trip a month in and out for maintenance purposes. We've again located the facility, taking advantage of existing trees and hiding it behind the existing long agricultural buildings that are on property, trying to take advantages of the site's natural screening abilities such that you can screen these things. So we're unaware of any adverse effect, much less a substantial adverse effect that an installation such as this would have. Instead, intend what you have are positive effects with better coverage, not only for folks that are Verizon subscribers, but those in the emergency services and other industries who tend to rely on their cell phones as they get out into more rural areas. With that, I or any member of my team would be happy to answer any questions.
Excuse me. Are there any questions from members of the board? And I'm going to start with you, Mr. Mills.
No, he's answered the key one.
Okay. And Mr. Hudson?
No.
Mr. Ricker?
Yeah. How many, do you get drops, a lot of drops in that area?
That's what tends to, in fact, if you want, Andrew can come up and speak to it, but that's what triggers us going out into an area. We don't randomly drive around and look for locations. It's usually driven by customer complaints, inability to make calls or inability to keep calls moving. When we get enough of that data, that's when we go out looking to fill the hole in the coverage, so to speak.
In other words, to cover the coverage.
Yeah. This is a pure coverage site. You've heard me. The last one I was here, right, which was down outside the Millsboro area, which may have been the first that you had seen me, Mr. Rickard, that was both coverage and capacity because that was a very heavily traveled area. This one here is more coverage than capacity because it's just an empty area.
All right.
And Mr. Rickard, living in and you know, spending a lot of my time there, I can attest to that.
You got dropped a lot.
Yes.
You dropped a lot.
Ironically, I was in that area trying to make a phone call when I was down looking at the site and my call dropped. So that's confirmation, if nothing else.
No more other questions, Mr. Chairman. No other questions.
Mr. Work.
Yeah, how far, I don't know if you said it, how far off the road you are back?
We are from the road that runs in front of the property. There's a home on the other side. We're 375 feet from that house.
From that house?
Yes.
There's three homes across from that site. As I see, there's three different lots here.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
There's three homes there?
Yeah. Yes. We're 375 from the closest, which is this one over here, and we are 1,100 from the one that's over here.
Okay.
So the closest is 375, and it gets further away as you move down the road.
Okay.
Okay.
No other questions.
Okay. Hearing no further questions.
I want to make sure I didn't hear anything about the, and maybe I missed it, the pad sites being surrounded by 6-foot tall fences.
That's part of the plans, and that's what's going to be there.
I didn't see a copy of the plans. So.
Yeah,
That's okay. I wanted to make sure you made some statements that overlap with some of your witnesses, but some that haven't. Do you have somebody that can affirm your testimony?
Mr. Peterson? I mean, if both Pete and Andrew can come up, And I'll say first to Andrew, to the extent that I may put testimony on the record with regard to RF engineering questions, that testimony, could you affirm that for the board?
Yes, I do affirm that that would have been my testimony.
And the same for Mr. Sakalis with regard to civil engineering questions?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, the applicant has suggested, and I think at least convinced me that the request will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent neighboring properties. And since we didn't hear testimony to the contrary, I make a motion we approve case number 11,533.
And Mr. Mills,
okay,
just
do I have...
also, was there anything in regards to the standards for the cell tower that we have in the code? The lighting, the co-location need?
I guess I'm not following you. They said they would.
Do you believe that they've been met? I guess that's part of the motion.
Yeah, they said that they would.
They would, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All
right.
115.94.
115.94.2.
He's meeting those.
Yeah.
Made that statement that he would meet all the requirements in 115.194.2.
A and J.
And
A and J, right?
Right.
Okay.
So did you make a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Mills has a motion. I'm waiting on a second.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickard that we approve case number 11,553. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Hudson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickard?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Mills?
Aye for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons had been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,533 is approved.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.